Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. So, I don't know how long this is going to be. I just have some things on my mind. It's not really necessarily gossip galore. I mean, there's some gossip, obviously. But the news about Tyler Posey is one of coming out and in a very dramatic fashion. You know, allowed me to reveal some blinds that I've been holding on to for years. Years and years. So if you saw the site today, then you saw those. But I thought I would add a little bit more context to it. I mean, from the time, you know, Teen Wolf came on, I was just like, it's nonstop and the beards and all of this kind of stuff. And so he got an OnlyFans page. And, you know, I wrote a blind about that last week, which I revealed today. And I was wondering, well, you know, if he's going to take this opportunity on this OnlyFans page to finally, you know, come out. And, you know, he had a little chat on the site. And, you know, he said, you know, I've hooked up with guys, but I never had full-on intercourse with another guy. Quote, I haven't had sex with a man. We've blown each other. You know what I mean? But never had sex. So, yes, I've been with men before. And then in another clip, he said, quote, to anybody who's new here and asking if I've hooked up with guys before, the answer is yes. Ever used a dildo? Yes. I've been effed with a strap-on before. And then he also gave an interview to the Jason Ellis show on Sirius XM. And he said, you know, I think he said 70 days sober or something after kicking his weed and booze habits. And this, get this, this is during a pandemic, and here's a quote. I was at a party the other night where they had a table of cocaine, and they had holy water, which was shots with Molly in it, and mushroom chocolate, and I didn't give a shit at all. And the actor said that he's also turned his back on the sex party scene, of which he was once a part, famously with Bryan Singer. He says, I'm starting to get my ass together, and it feels really, really, really good. You know, and he said that the reason he decided to open up was because of the Instagram footage of transsexual women getting beaten up made him realize it was time to open up. He said on the radio show, I woke up one morning and I saw the stuff on Instagram about these transsexual women who were being beaten and harassed. And there were a bunch of people that were filming the whole entire interaction and laughing at them. And that pissed me off so much. I was just kind of shedding light on that because I didn't hear about it. It was like a week. I was a week late on the whole entire thing, I think. So I didn't really know about it. And so I thought if I didn't know, maybe other people didn't know. And then he said, I was just hit with wanting to just to come out myself with that whole thing and be honest about it. And I mean, good for him. Good for finally, you know, letting that burden go. It's not like, you know, this was a huge secret. I mean, I definitely, because Teen Wolf has got such a fandom that, you know, while it was on, years after, you know, people would always say, no, Tyler's not gay at all. You know, it's other people on Teen Wolf that are gay and not him. So one of the reveals from that I did today was from May of 2017. And it says this A-/B+ list mostly television actor was convinced that coming out of the closet would kill his career. The actor who has trouble landing a role equal to the long-running cable hit show in which he has starred for so long doesn't need to worry about coming out. Producers know he's gay, even if he thinks he's hiding it. What they don't like is his meth use, which is why he isn't getting offers. So that was one of them. And then another one was from November 2015. This barely still in the closet Teen Wolf star is certainly getting chummy with his stand-in on the show, and he's not shy about spilling all the details of their encounters. March 2019, every other week or so, this disgraced director has been staying at the home of this closeted A-minus list former MTV actor. And that's Bryan Singer and Tyler Posey. One from January 2018. This closeted A-minus list mostly television actor goes from one MTV show to the next. With a new show coming out, he got himself a new beard. This is one guy who got to start having sex with that A-list director and was a mainstay at every single party the director threw for years. Every single person in town knows he's gay. His quote-unquote girlfriend has made more trips to Dubai than Lindsay Lohan, which is fine, but this whole story is just ridiculous. And that's Tyler Posey and Bryan Singer. And I'm going to talk about that girlfriend a little bit more. And then the most recent one, October 9th, this closeted B-plus list actor is doing OnlyFans, is going to keep up the charade, or use this chance to show the world who he is. And he used that chance to show the world who he is. Back in 2015, July of 2015, you know, I got sent a photo of Tyler and his boyfriend at the time, and it was a very intimate photo. You know, I just, like I said, the whole town, I think, you know, knew he was gay. Producers knew he was gay. Everybody, but, you know, you've got this fandom that wants, you know, you to be straight, so he did that. Back in November of 2015, I got a tip, and it was essentially, and especially after what happened in July with the photo, and I would always get these kind of tips of people that had hooked up with him, or people had run into him at a bar or something. And this tipster back in November of 2015 just, you know, wanted to point out that it's more likely that the Tyler Posey from Teen Wolf is going to come out. No clue if he's going to come out as gay or bi, but he's been recently making some comments on the social media that would make you think twice. And this is where the God knows what's going on between him and his stand-in. And, you know, it just, there's always been, because he was, I guess it all comes about because he was so open about it in, you know, town when it wasn't, you know, related to something with his public image, that everybody just assumed that he's finally going to come out, you know? There was, you know, in July of 2016, you know, he took a photo, a video, actually. It was a video of himself in Manhattan at Gay Street, right? And G-A-Y Street. And he said, "I'm gay." And everybody goes, "Oh, good. You know, he's finally coming out." And at first it was taken as a coming out video. But then he posted a video of a lamp and shouted, "I'm lamp." You know, so everybody's, you know, it's a mockery kind of thing. And one of his reps at the time said, "Oh, he meant it like happy." Like gay and happy, you know? I mean, that's kind of offensive in a different way. And then, you know, Tyler, you know, apologized for the video and he said, "You know, I fully support the LGBTQ community. This was a moment intended to reflect that. I'm truly sorry to the people I've offended or, you know, lessened how big coming out is. I just wanted to spread love in this world." So then what happens right after that, a couple of months later, is, well, it's time for another beard. So he gets Bella Thorne. And, you know, they make sure that they get, you know, photographed kissing a lot outside in West Hollywood. And, you know, Bella Thorne just went from being, you know, from one beard situation to the next, to the next. I mean, that's pretty much what she did for a year and a half or so. And, you know, they had a big falling out, and I can't find the blind item about it, but I've got the tip, and I'll read that. And I looked at the blind items right around the tip, and I still can't find it. And then there was in January of 2017, I guess, there was some, you know, private videos that kind of leaked. And it was along with Cody Christian. And the video has, you know, Tyler shirtless and, you know, you can tell it's supposed to be private. And, you know, the fans were saying, "Oh, we respect you. We won't share it," or anything like that. And then, you know, just a couple months after that, you know, I got a lot of tips over the years about the Teen Wolf people. But you learn to only trust some of the tips. One of the hardest things to do when you're evaluating tips in a fandom kind of situation that Teen Wolf was, is there's just so many sides and so many different situations, scenarios, or whatever that people want to see happen, and so they spin it that way, you know? And this particular tip was talking about a bunch of the Teen Wolf guys, you know, hooking up with crew and extras and things like that. and just commenting how many closeted guys, you know, were on that show. And, you know, obviously the creator of the show is gay, but, you know, there wasn't a casting couch process per se, although Tyler and Bryan Singer, you know. But there, you know, there's been talk that there was a casting couch for, say, minor roles in the later seasons and things like that. So, I mean, there's probably, from that show, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 guys that are bi or gay from that show, and then one woman. You know, so, I mean, and that's not including, those are the stars. I'm talking about the, you know, main cast recurring kind of things. And, you know, it's, at Tyler at that time, you know, this, everybody was still saying, is he gay or is he bi? Because it's hard to tell, because with Tyler, there was a lot of self-hate going on there, you know, and he would tell his friends, you know, depending on the month, you know, gay, bi, whatever. And he gets really, got really depressed about it, you know, and his family is a, you know, a very kind of open and progressive family. So, you know, this is more of a career thing, I think, than, you know, it's hard to tell the parents. And then there was a picture of him and another guy who, like, I can't out, but who, you know, had a long-term relationship with Tyler and still has not come out. And I mean, it was a very intimate kind of picture too. And it just, okay. And I think at that time, you know, these two had hooked up, Tyler and this guy who's also an actor. And I don't know, I guess at that point, Tyler didn't want to come out, or maybe, you know, definitely the other guy didn't want to come out. So, but when you had, I guess it was about the middle of 2017 in July or something, and there was a whole lot of things going on. And so Bella Thorne and Zendaya were, you know, fighting a lot, because I guess Bella was jealous of Zendaya, and Bella was looking into who she wanted to have her next PR relationship be with, and approached this guy, and that guy was very close with Zendaya, so that led to a lot of kind of things. And the and then, you know, you had, at that time, it came out that some really, you know, the leaked photos and videos of Tyler were because of Bella, because she had got angry at him. And then apparently he had videos of her, like, doing coke and Molly, and a short video of her, you know, orally servicing a guy. And it's just kind of, yeah, I mean, it's really interesting, because her family, you know, is super conservative, and it's just kind of strange that she did that. And this is where she got angry at Tyler, and, you know, did the his nudes being leaked, where she did that, was apparently he was going around telling people that she has herpes, and she got angry at that. I don't know if she does or not. I'm just saying that that's what supposedly made her angry, was that he was telling people that she had herpes, and so she said, well, I'm going to leak these photos. And like I said, I've been talking about him for forever, you know, being closeted and being gay. And one of the things that always frustrates me is just how, you know, the tabloids, or say E, will always just pretend that they'll just go along with whatever story the publicists say. And there was, in August of 2017, so this is essentially right after Bella had got angry at him and all this kind of stuff, and E interviewed him and Tyler, and they're like, oh, sorry, you know, Tyler's kind of off the market, And he was, oh, it's fresh, it's fresh. It's not like a secret or anything. It's just pretty new. And they're using language like, oh, he couldn't help but gush about the woman, you know, who he said he met while working on a recent project together. And he said, you know, I'm nervous right now talking about it. She's beautiful, really cool, has a lot of the same interests and stuff. And, you know, I don't mind. Obviously, I don't mind if a tabloid doesn't want to out somebody. But just to have access, you know, you're printing something that you know is false. Because you know he's hooking up with nothing but guys. And yet, oh, you know, he's so in love. And, you know, and they had another one in January 2018 where Tyler Posey just made, you know, things super official with his girlfriend and stuff like that. And, you know, Instagram official. And it's just so wonderful. And, you know, I mean. And it just, you could see kind of this opening of him coming out over the last couple months. Because back in August, you know, he talked about where he had dated trans women in the past when, you know, when he was talking about that violence, and he said that he had. But then he kind of, okay, I said that, and I'm going to keep quiet for a little while. And then, but just when he went on OnlyFans and, you know, his first post or whatever was him playing the guitar and, you know, naked. And I was just, you know, okay, he is for sure going to do that. And I'm glad. I mean, it was just kind of a, it wasn't, oh, hey, I realized I'm gay or something. It was, he went into detail. He went into detail. So one of the things I saw today, I guess maybe yesterday in Town and Country magazine, they said that Steve Bing died with about, you know, $300,000 or something in his bank account, and which is, you know, probably true, but they make it seem like he was broke. And, you know, you got to realize that he wasn't really broke because he came from a really rich family. Now, did he blow $600 million or whatever? Yeah. You know, but the thing that it's a very lengthy article. But there's one part of it that I've just, seriously, you guys are writing this? Because it's totally not true. And the little section of it says, quote, within hours, conspiracy theories were circulating on the internet that Bing had not killed himself, but had been murdered because of his connection to the late multimillionaire sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Friends found this absurd, even offensive. Okay, let's, you know, do that part. Murdered, I don't think anybody ever thought maybe he was murdered. We thought, okay, he's committed suicide because he might be one of the John Does, right? So I don't think that anybody really necessarily thought he was murdered. But then, this is what they said. So friends found this absurd, even offensive. The two never met, close associates say. Really? Really? And they speculated that loneliness had pushed him over the edge. Probably true. Few knew the truth that Steve Bing feared he was on the brink of financial ruin, okay? And that long-buried secrets were catching up to him. Long-buried secrets were catching up to him. Don't tell me that Steve Bing and Jeffrey Epstein never met. I'm sure there's a picture out there somewhere. But don't forget that Steve Bing was one of the guys who coerced Graydon Carter of Vanity Fair not to publish a piece on Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine, the one that was written by John Connolly, okay? So don't tell me that they haven't met. Now, back when I did a little Steve Bing thing, or maybe it was when I was did True and On or something, I want to read a quote from the Vanity Fair article, okay? Back then, as a cocky, petite, ink-stained wretch, I wasn't one of the young women in Manhattan whom Epstein and his friends approached for relationships, one-night stands, or abuse, but I was surrounded by a lot of them. They were always the most beautiful girls in the room, usually models or former models, with a slightly aloof Stepford Wives aura that masked a deeper vulnerability. Several names came up when they were around. Epstein, supermarket magnate Ron Burkle, film financier Steve Bing, and former President Bill Clinton. Now, Clinton was flying around on Epstein's jet, flying around on Burkle's jet, and you know, it's just... And then you have Burkle and Epstein, right? So Burkle's in Epstein's black book, three different phone numbers. He's also in the flight logs of the Lolita Express. And Burkle and Bing were best buddies. I mean, just crazy, crazy best buddies. And Burkle was friends with, you know, businessmen, decision makers, celebrities, all that kind of stuff. Former presidents, whether it's Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, also current president, Donald Trump, of course, who, you know, invited Burkle when the Penguins won the Stanley Cup back in 2016. And Trump introduced Burkle as one of his good friends. So then, you know, it was Burkle that got Bing to start donating. Burkle and Bing and Epstein and Clinton and Trump, and they're all there. You know? And it just, it blew my mind when I read that. You know, it was just crazy that to think that they didn't know each other and had never met. I mean, Bill Clinton called Bing one of his best friends. So, you know, you can't, how do you have that group of people and, you know, Bing trying to pull strings? How do you have that happen? And none of them, and never met. That is just ridiculous. And it offends my sensibilities that they would write that thinking, oh, okay, well, close associates of theirs say that the two never met. Okay, well, why don't you ask Clinton? Why don't you ask Burkle? I bet you they would give a different answer. You know, one of the things when I was doing Burkle and Soho House and all that kind of stuff, because, you know, Burkle was paying Bill Clinton to work for Yucaipa Companies or something as a senior advisor, and I've talked about it before. And so Clinton would fly around with Burkle, help him generate business, and there would always be a bunch of, you know, young women on Burkle's private jet. And, you know, Clinton called it Ron Air and Air Force Two, but the female, you know, people that had to have sex with him called it Air F1 kind of thing. And, you know, I mean, Clinton was staying at Burkle's house so much that Burkle installed a jogging path for him and stuff. And then the two had a falling out, and I think it was because Clinton probably hit on one of Burkle's friends or something, and he walked away with about $20 million from Burkle. But it really, when I was reading the Town and Country thing, it was just, you guys, you can't say that, because it's totally, you know, not true. Of course they met. And just dig a little bit. I know I get a lot of people asking about Lily James. I got a ton of people asking about Lily James and Chris Evans before, and, you know, and she's just had such bad luck with guys, you know. You know, her boyfriend, Matt Smith, cheated on her all the time, and she goes, hangs out with Chris Evans, and he has sex with her a couple of times and dumps her, and next thing you know, she's hooking up with Dominic West, who's married, and that's not going to end well, and it hasn't ended well. And it's Lily that's taking the brunt of it. Because let's not forget, it takes two to tango, and Dominic West was doing some tango with Lily James. And because of that, you know, she's, you know, doing this movie called Rebecca, and she's supposed to be going out there promoting it, and instead she's having to cancel everything. And this is always a conundrum, because, you know, she canceled going on Graham Norton. She canceled going on the Today Show. She's supposed to go on, I think, the Tonight Show. None of those three would ask her about the Dominic West thing. You know, they're knee patty enough where the publicist would say, hey, don't ask her about this. And, you know, I think that they would say, okay, fine. But she's having to cancel anyway. And all that does is just, you know, reinforces the fact that there was definitely something going on, regardless of what Dominic West and, oh, and my wife and, oh, our marriage is so strong. No. And the thing is, she was supposed to go to this Hollywood Foreign Press thing where, you know, she's supposed to kiss Bud and get a Golden Globe nomination. And she bailed on it about 45 minutes before the event. And so they'll probably screw her over and not give her a nomination. I haven't seen it. But that's just the kind of thing, you know, those people, they love a Lily James type, and they probably would have thrown her a nomination. If you agree to do like one of their little press junket kind of things. I feel like, you know, they're just kind of screwing her over. And you know what's going on with Dominic West? Nothing, right? He just got lined up for a new job. So, I mean, she's having to hide and he's just out there like nothing happened. And his wife saying, nothing happened. I don't know. Demi Lovato. Demi. I have heard a lot of people selling a lot of stuff. You know, Wastrain her teeth, Fabletics. I mean, she is trying to sell it all. This one tops the cake. This one tops the cake. So not that long ago, when she was still with Max, she went out to Joshua Tree. This is a fact. She went out there. I believe that they stayed in the glass house. But she was also out there, I guess, meeting with Dr. Stephen Greer. And he is, you know, a big-time authority on the subject of UFOs and ET intelligence and, you know, initiating peaceful contact with extraterrestrial civilizations and stuff like that. And that's cool. You know, explore all that. And Demi wrote, quote, "Over the past couple months, I've dug deep into the science of consciousness and experienced not only peace and serenity like I've never known, but I also have witnessed the most incredibly profound sightings both in the sky as well as feet away from me." And there was, you know, it's on Instagram, so there's a bunch of photos and videos of UFOs in the sky. I'm okay with her saying this. I don't believe a word of her actually believing it just because of what was going on with Max and all that kind of stuff. I don't think that she was really digging deep into her science of consciousness. And she definitely hasn't had any peace and serenity. So that's kind of a load of crap. Okay. But what she wants to do with Greer and the CE5 team, which is Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind, they want 1% of the world's population to meditate and make contact with aliens. You know, it's like a crowdsource kind of thing. And that way the governments would have to acknowledge the truth about extraterrestrial life among us. And then she decides, hey, I'm going to promote his app, which costs $9.99. And this app, you need the app to be able to make contact with the otherworldly beings. You can't make contact with them without the app. Okay. So the aliens are on the app. How does that exactly work? And then she, because obviously people are going to get in and say, I didn't get to talk to an alien or something, or I didn't get to talk, you know, to consciousness or whatever. So she said, hey, don't worry if it doesn't work immediately. P.S. If it doesn't happen on the first try, keep trying. It took me several sessions to tap into a deep enough level of meditation to make contact. Happy communicating. I mean, it's just, you know, you got to make a buck. I get that. And you know what? You know, go ahead and shill for the app and everything. It just, where she said the whole thing about her being at peace and serenity and stuff, nobody believes that. You know? She's busy dealing with the stalker dude and, you know, thinking that he really liked her, and then, you know, she's already found somebody else now, and I is that the peace and serenity? You know, I'd like to watch her do it. She didn't talk about what she and the aliens conversed about. I'm hoping that she caught them up on, you know, her engagement and things like that. That would be good. You know, I can't do one of these longer things where I talk about everybody without talking about Meghan Markle. Because I've been thinking about it a lot. I've just been thinking about a situation, and somebody in one of the Q&As asked me, you know, if I thought that their marriage was going to last, and, you know, what kind of scenario I could envision, and I gave an answer to that. But I've been really thinking about this whole Christmas thing. So there's news kind of buzzing around that Harry's going to go back to England for something very soon. I'm thinking, okay, it's October 20th. And, you know, when is he going to do this? And let's not forget that American Thanksgiving is about a month away. And if he goes to the UK, he's going to have to quarantine for 2 weeks. So, you know, it will look bad if he's not quarantining. So even if he went today, what, November 3rd would be about the soonest that he could show himself in public? Or is he just going for a day and somebody's going to come meet him or whatever while he's in quarantine and then he's going to leave? And then is he going to quarantine when he gets back? You know, that kind of thing. So it's just a math thing. And the trial is supposed to start January 11th. And it's looking more and more, I don't know, with Ireland shutting down for 6 weeks, you know, it's locking down for 6 weeks. It's entirely possible that this trial could be just all virtual. It's tough to do, though. And so it could get postponed. But let's just assume that the trial is going to go on January 11th and that Meghan is going to be forced to go and not be able to testify virtually. The story goes that she doesn't want to spend Christmas in England, that she wants to spend it at home in Montecito and just, you know, blow off Christmas for the second year in a row with the Queen. Okay. But if the trial starts January 11th, that means that she, because she will have to quarantine, just like Johnny Depp did, just like Amber Heard did, just like everybody, all the lawyers that came over from the States, they all quarantined. You know, I don't think it's going to be a Kanye West situation where he gets, you know, they get away with it. So that means that Meghan will have to arrive in England. What about December 28th? And that's if the trial starts the 11th, but don't you want to meet with your lawyers and everything? So you really need to go a day or two earlier. So like December 26th. So I don't understand how she's going to have this magical Christmas at home on the 25th and then the next day, possibly, you know, have to take an overnight flight to England to get there, you know, on the 27th. It just... So this is this conundrum that I'm... Because I've heard that she's desperate to testify virtually and not have to go and face the press and do all of that. And if there's a line of question that she doesn't like, then, you know, the internet can go out. And then she can get back on after she's composed herself. The other thing is if these other witnesses are going to testify in person, are they going to testify virtually? And the Amber Heard thing, some had to be there in person, a lot got to testify virtually. But if she's calling those witnesses and they can't testify virtually, then they also have to go to England and quarantine for 2 weeks, which means it's kind of screwing up their Christmas too. I wonder what Harry thinks about this, if he's doing the math too and saying, why can't we just go for Christmas? You know, what are we going to do? Just have Christmas here and then shut everything down and then leave, you know, and, you know, leave the tree up until we get back in February or something, you know, not that I'm opposed to leaving a tree up until February. I think that's perfectly acceptable. So I think about this a lot, and I wonder if Harry, you know, going, if supposedly he's going to go right now, if this is kind of, hey, I'm not going to be able to make it for Christmas. It could be your last Christmas on Earth, Grandma. It could be your last Christmas on Earth, Grandpa. But Meghan told me we have to stay home, you know. So these are just kind of things I think about. I also think about Taryn Manning, the walking blind item. I love when she's in the news. I love it because she's such a mess. And publicists read the site. And, you know, you will often, not often, sometimes you'll see me do a reveal where it's you know, the next day or 2 days later because the publicist read it and the offending celebrity actor, actress, whatever, they come clean. And when I saw that Taryn had said, oh, you know, Dancing with the Stars, you know, has asked me to be on the show all the time, I knew in an instant that that was probably wrong, but I checked. I you know, texted somebody and asked, and they said, no, never. And so then I wrote the blind, and I know she reads the blinds. And the next day she's like, no, look, here's all the emails, you know, and then the Dancing with the Stars producers are, no, the emails are you begging us for a job. not us asking you. So no. And it's just, these emails are just all bogus and everything like that. And I just, I think the quote from the show was, Taryn claims she's been asked to join the cast many times. However, we have never asked Taryn to be part of the show. Her representation attempted to pitch her to us a while back, and we kindly passed. So her claim that she was asked to join Dancing with the Stars once, never mind many times, is completely false. And her thoughts that the contestants consist of has-been seems to be her own projection onto talent that we have asked to cast. That is the kindest burn ever. So you're calling yourself a has-been, Taryn, and we kindly passed. Can you imagine that train wreck on live television? That would be bonkers. And then, you know, what she did with the whole Danny Masterson thing. Okay, so I told you a couple weeks ago that Danny Masterson, he had filed a demur, and I thought I explained how unusual it was in criminal law, and then the judge overruled the demur and set arraignment for November 2nd, I think. And Danny Masterson doesn't have to go. He didn't have to go to this last hearing either. In fact, he's in Wyoming. Some of the news that's interesting is that the judge agreed that the trial could be televised, which will permanently destroy Danny Masterson's career, because everybody's going to see those images of him talking, and, you know, there's going to be a victim after victim after victim that go up there and tell their stories, and who's going to hire him except for Ashton Kutcher? But meanwhile, he's in Wyoming and posted something to Instagram with his kids, and he said, oh, look, the Grand Tetons do not suck. And of course, you know, Scientologists were quick to jump on that and, oh, we love you, and all that kind of stuff. And then you had Taryn Manning, who hopped on there and said, love you, Danny and Bijou. I know who you are. Scorned lovers unite. They can't take your life away. I can't believe the level of hatred, as if you're any better at this point. Danny is awesome, clearly, or he wouldn't be getting crucified this way. Huh? What? What the hell did you just say? I mean, I know who you... Taryn, just thirsty. And she's also, I don't know if she's in a relationship with somebody, but she's definitely texting some woman right now. And so that's going on. And I give advice to any woman who receives a text from Taryn or gets asked out by Taryn or invited to accompany Taryn to anything alone, I would pass on that. Just like Dancing with the Stars passed on her. You know, earlier I talked about how Lily James was getting screwed over. And I saw something in The Sun this week where they found Lonnie Wilson, who is Jeremy Jackson's ex. Jeremy Jackson was on Baywatch. He played David Hasselhoff's son. And Jeremy Jackson is a horrible human being. And Lonnie Wilson, who is now homeless, and she hadn't been really seen in 2 years, which means that the tabloids hadn't really gone looking for her in 2 years. And they found her, and they took some pictures of her, and you know, and just the life that she's had to endure. And, you know, she lives in Venice Beach on the streets, and she says she's got food, she's got a place to sleep and everything. But, you know, she doesn't have any money or cell phone or anything like that. And a couple of years ago, almost 2 years to the date, you know, some friends tried to get her into rehab, but she kind of bailed on that. And, you know, she got married to Jeremy back in 2012. But, you know, it's two addicts, and you can imagine the fights. And he attacked her and beat her at their house at the time. So they split. And, you know, she worked. She had some jobs. And, you know, her last job, I think, was back in 2016. And she had a mental breakdown. And so then she lost that job. She lost her apartment. She lost her car. And then she ended up having to live on the streets. And yes, she had a chance in 2018 to go to rehab and maybe get her life, you know, turned around. But that didn't work. And perhaps, you know, this will, you know, give some interest to everybody, and maybe she's ready this time. But the one of the things is that Jeremy Jackson's birthday was this last week, his 40th birthday. And, you know, he's had his own addiction issues, obviously. And, but the thing is, he's celebrated right now. He's like, oh yes, you know, I'm just, he's this king of LA fitness, you know, be a trainer and all these kind of things. And, but he's gotten all these chances despite the fact that, you know, he was a drug addict. He was an alcoholic. He, you know, did cocaine every day. He was arrested for drug possession and intent to sell. He served like 3 months in jail. And, you know, he did a lot of crystal meth, and he said he was drinking and doing coke and, you know, lots of girls and lots of sex. He, even after all that, he got a chance to be on Celebrity Big Brother in the UK, but he got kicked off because he opened the robe of Chloe Goodman. So, you know, you have a little sexual assault there. And then right after that, he, I think it was April in 2015, he stabbed a guy in Westlake, which is Thousand Oaks, kind of where Britney lives, and fled the scene. But then they dropped those charges. And then he got arrested 4 months after that because a woman claimed he stabbed her in the back, arm, and leg during an argument about her boyfriend's car. And he got almost a year in jail and got probation for 5 years. And all of that, but, you know, he still gets to be celebrated. You know, oh, we'll give him another chance. You know, we'll give him another chance. We'll give him another chance. And meanwhile, the, you know, he tortured Lonnie, and she is, you know, homeless and needs help. And not just maybe for addiction, but obviously for some mental health issues also. And it just, it blows my mind how just, we'll just toss her away. You know, she wasn't on TV. Yeah, she was a model, but, you know, this is Jeremy Jackson. He was on Baywatch. And most of you are going, I don't, you know, don't even know who Jeremy Jackson is. And exactly, you know, but he gets chance after chance after chance. Oh, the charges were dropped, you know, and all this kind of stuff. I don't know. So it just kind of, again, just this thing. Oh, one other thing that I want to talk about is Tekashi got sued, got served. And it's all, you know, this is why I call him the child rapist, pornographer, or whatever. But that 13-year-old that he abused at a party back in 2015, she's suing him, finally. And, you know, Tekashi's lawyer can just suck it. Because the lawyer said, it's been 5 years, and she's just now deciding to sue? Okay, you got to be kidding me. She was 13 years old. Now she's 18. Okay, now she doesn't have to have her parents involved. She can just do it herself. You know, so you can suck it. And she was underage. They plied her with drugs and alcohol. It was Tekashi and this guy named Tay Millie. They made 3 sexually explicit videos. Those Tekashi and this Tay guy posted them online. And the first one was this 13-year-old performing oral sex on Tay while Tekashi did like pelvic thrust behind her. He didn't engage in sex in that one. He just slapped her butt. And then the second one was the girl sitting on Tekashi's lap in a bra and underwear. And in the third, she was laying naked across their laps while that Tay guy groped her. So, yeah, she's suing. Child sexual assault, child sexual abuse, infliction of emotional distress. And, you know, he pled guilty. Okay. So I'm not sure what his, how he thinks that he's going to get out of, like, paying some money, because he admitted to the making and, you know, disseminating of the video, you know, featuring a 13-year-old. He got 4 years probation. And he said, oh, I was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. Really? So, little comeuppance for him. All right, you guys. I will talk to you later.